This morning, we're going to talk about the enemy lies from John 8, verses 42 through 47. Dear lady in our church, she's here today, in fact, she wrote me a letter some time ago telling how she had been involved in a cult as a child. She told me how that as a 12-year-old girl in this cult, she saw a vision of Jesus. You know, the traditional Jesus beckoning us to come to Him. And she thought it was Jesus. It was not until later she got saved, she got out of the cult, that she got to thinking about that vision, and it occurred to her that there were no nail prints in the hands. And there were no nail prints in the feet. And there was no thorn scarred brow. She got to thinking about her involvement in that cult. She said, as I sat there as a little girl, I think she said at the age of 7, she said all the different preachers that would preach, they all had an aura or a halo, a golden glowing light over their heads as they would stand in the pulpit. And she assumed that was a deception Satan was using to try to tell her, this guy's God's man, this is the right church, this is the true church. She said, thank God I never saw an aura around you. And I'm thanking God for that too. And thank God she saw through Satan's deception and got out of that cult. But ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, millions have not seen through Satan's lies and millions are still blinded. Ladies and gentlemen, if Satan is anything, Satan is a liar. I call him a liar because Jesus called him a liar in John 8 and verse 44. In John 8, Jesus is engaged in quite a conversation with the Pharisees. Things are getting hot. If you look at verse 12, he's just told them, I'm the light of the world. And in verse 42, he says to them, I came from God, God sent me. They don't buy it. They reject Jesus, they reject what he said. In fact, if you look down at verse 48, they said, you're not from God, you're a Samaritan. And that was an insult. That's another way of saying you're a heretic. They said, not only are you a heretic, but worse than that, you're downright evil. You're demon-possessed yourself, verse 48. Well, in the middle of this discussion, Jesus makes some comments about our enemy, the devil. He teaches us a truth about Satan that we better get a hold of and we better never forget. What is this truth? The truth is simply this. Your enemy lies. The enemy is a liar. And that is the gospel truth. You want to do an interesting study on your own? I challenge you to study what the Bible has to say about Satan. Get your concordance and look up every time Satan is referred to in the Bible. You will be amazed at how often the name Satan is connected with deception. If Satan is anything, Satan is a liar. The enemy lies. I want us to see what Jesus says about his deception. In verse 44, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer. Now notice this next phrase. From the beginning, not holding to the truth. The first thing Jesus tells us about Satan is he's the original liar. From the very beginning, he didn't hold to the truth. He was a murderer and a liar from the very beginning. You see, you can't believe a word he says. He's a liar and he's been a liar from the very beginning. Let's go back to the beginning. Is Jesus exaggerating this? First of all, he deceived Eve in the garden. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. He deceived the woman. You go back to the very beginning on this earth, and Satan was lying. Do you see it? What exactly did He say to Eve? You've got it there in Genesis 3 on your sheet. The very first words that came out of His mouth, He cast doubt upon the Word of God. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Did God really say? Look at verse 4. He then contradicts God's Word. He lies. He says to Eve, if you eat of that fruit, you will not die. He lies again in verse 5. When you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. The truth is, Eve was already like God. She was made in God's image. But when she did what Satan said, she became unlike God. She fell into depravity and into sin. Satan is a liar. From the very beginning, Jesus says, he's been lying. He lied in the garden. Go back further than that. He deceived the angels in heaven. Look at Revelation 12 and verse 4. His tail swept a third of the stars, talking about the angels, out of the sky and flung them to the earth. We learned last Sunday night that one third of heaven's angels rebelled against their Creator God with Satan. Now listen to me. Angels are not stupid beings. For Satan to be able to convince one out of every three of them to rebel against God and try to dethrone God, Satan must be some deceiver. And that he is. When Lucifer was finished with the angels of heaven, one third of these beautiful and brilliant creatures were transformed into hideous and evil, lying spirits. When Jesus said, from the very beginning you've been deceiving, Jesus meant what He said. He's the first liar. My teacher at Moody that I shared with you about last Sunday night, Dr. Fred Dickerson, much of his ministry for the last couple of decades has been dealing extensively with people that come under the direct attack of Satan. And he shared with us, in fact, I believe if he's played as many tapes, I believe we actually heard this tape. He shared with us the story of a lady that we'll just call Dottie. Dottie was demon possessed. In this particular case, as Dr. Fred was trying to help Dottie, the demons actually took control of Dottie's vocal cords and began speaking through her, as they often did in the New Testament with Jesus. Dr. Dickerson addressed the demons and he said, Christ made all things. He's your Creator, isn't He? Isn't He? And the demon replied, we rebelled against Him. I heard it with my own ears. Dickerson said, yeah, but He created you. That's the issue. He created you, right? And the demon said, sure. And then you rebelled against Him. The demon said, that's right. Dickerson asked, who is your leader now? And the demon replied, oh, Lucifer. And you followed him. And the demon said, he was our leader. What do? You follow a leader. Dickerson said, no, you chose to follow the leader. You chose to follow Lucifer. You rebelled against your Creator. Lucifer used to be an angel. He praised God himself, but you rebelled with Lucifer against your Creator. The demon replied, we didn't want to praise God anymore, so we left him. Dickerson answered, weren't you satisfied with what you had in creation? You were created beautiful, weren't you? And the demon replied, and this is what stuck in my mind. The demon said, we wanted to get more. And then he said, this is not enough. We want more. Dickerson asked, what did you get? And the demon said, we didn't get it yet, but we're not done trying. Dickerson said, where are you going to end up? And the demon said, oh, you always will burn. Dickerson asked, where are you going to burn? And the demon said, fire. Ladies and gentlemen, that spirit at one time was a holy angel who bowed in the presence of God and worshiped God. But when Lucifer got through with him, he had become a hideous, lying, evil spirit. Look at verse 44. Jesus said, from the beginning, you go way back into heaven, from the very beginning, Satan is a liar. He's the original liar. That's not all. Look at verse 44, the rest of the verse. He's a faithful liar. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar. Jesus says there is no truth in Him, none. You can't trust a word He says. Jesus says He lies. Look at it. And then Jesus says, not He was a liar, but He is a liar. He's still at it. He's been at it for 6,000 years, and He is still at it. Satan is a liar. The enemy lies. Understand this truth. He lied from the beginning. He's the first liar. He continues to lie. He is faithful in His lying. He is as faithful to the lie as God is to the truth. Give Him credit. He's good at what He does. What He does is He lies. Look at the end of verse 44. Jesus said lying is His native language. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one language He speaks fluently. You and I speak English. He speaks deception. It is His native language. So He's a faithful liar. Let's think about how faithful He's been in His lies. Look at Revelation 12 and verse 9. Over the years, He's led the whole world astray. Do you see it? During the tribulation, look at 2 Thessalonians 2. He will deceive practically the entire world to worship Him. Notice the words at the end of verse 9 there. He uses all sorts of pretended miracles. He'll use delusive marvels. He'll use lying wonders. Verse 10, He'll use unlimited seduction. And also, He'll use all wicked deception. Somehow, He'll convince the world to worship Him. He continues to lie. 1,000 years later, in the kingdom, after the kingdom age, after the millennial kingdom, He'll be released from His prison. And guess what He'll do? He'll do it all over again. Look at Revelation 20, down to verse 8. He will go out of His prison 1,000 years later to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. Look at verse 9. Talking about the nations, it says, they marched across the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of God's people, the city He loves, that's Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where He'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. He just doesn't quit. He started lying in heaven. He came down to the garden and lied. He's led the whole world astray. He'll lie in the tribulation. 1,000 years later, after He gets out of prison, He'll deceive the whole world again. He just doesn't quit. He is a faithful liar. A prolific liar. He's the first liar. He's the faithful liar. Look at the end of verse 44. He's the father of all liars. Jesus closes the verse by saying He's the father of lies. Not only is He the original liar, but watch, He's the originator of all lies and of all liars. Now listen to me. Follow me, please. To be a father, you got to have children, right? How many of you men are married, but you don't have any children? Anybody like that here today? All right. And you're a husband, but not yet a father. Now, once you have a child, then you're not only a husband, you're a father. Look at the verse closely. Jesus said, Satan is the father of all lies. To be a father, you've got to have children. I got bad news for you today. Your enemy, he's got lots of kids. He's fathered children all over this world. Your enemy not only has an army, but he has a nest of kids like you wouldn't believe. For example, look at verse 44. The Pharisees were His children. Jesus clearly says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. What was their father's desires? Lying, deceit. So what was their desire? To lie to the people? Ladies and gentlemen, your enemy has some children. And like father, like son, they are just like their father. As the old man lies, they lie also. Again, last week we saw that the enemy has an army, the demonic army. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. There they're called deceiving spirits. But not only does he have an army, he has children. Who are these children of the enemy? The Bible calls them false prophets. false teachers. And the world is full of them. Look at 1 John 4 and verse 1, the end of the verse. John said, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many of them. The devil has many deceivers, many false teachers that have gone out into the world. Jesus warned us they would come. Look down at Matthew 24. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Jesus said, you better watch out. They're going to come. There's going to be a lot of them. Many false prophets are going to come. And these many prophets are going to deceive many people. Paul told us they'd come. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. He talks about the false prophets, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Look down at 2 John 1. John said, not only are they going to come, they're already here. John said, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out. They're already out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Look at 2 Timothy 3. The closer we get to the end of the age, the worse it's going to get. Evil men and imposters, deceivers, will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of false prophets? Eastern mystics, Hindu holy men, dynamic cult leaders? We tend to think of false prophets as those being outside of the church. But look at your next verse. 2 Peter 2, Peter tells us, no, the false prophets are going to infiltrate the church. They will not deceive just from the outside, but from the inside. Peter says there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, among the church, among the body of Christ. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, like what? Like even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Our churches today are full of false teachers who deny the Lord Jesus. They deny His deity. They deny His virgin birth. They deny His blood atonement. They deny His literal resurrection. They deny that He's the only way to heaven. Our churches, even here in Des Moines, are full of false teachers. You say, how can you recognize them? Look at your next verse, two ways. They walk after the flesh, indulging in the lust of polluting passion. They're known for their lust. They have lust for money. They have lust for immorality. And there's another way you can recognize them. They scorn and despise authority. They're rebels. They're children of the devil, remember? And Satan is the original rebel. And they are just like their father. They rebel against authority. Look what it goes on to say about them. They're presumptuous, daring, self-willed, self-loving creatures. They scoff at and revile dignitaries without trembling. These false teachers are immoral. These false teachers are rebellious. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that rebellion is of the devil? In 2 Samuel, we read that rebellion is as witchcraft. Whether you are whatever authority it is, if it's rebellion, it is of Satan. Whether you're rebelling against your church elders, your denominational authorities, your parental authority, your principal, the school teacher in the classroom, the policeman on the street corner, your government authorities, whatever authority it is, your authority at work, rebellion is of the devil. Peter said the false teachers are going to come, and you can recognize them by their lust and by their rebellion. Look what Paul said about them in Titus 1. There are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers. Do you see it? Deception goes along with rebellion. Look at Romans 16. Paul warned us, I urge you, brothers, watch out for those who cause divisions contrary to the teaching you've heard. Verse 18, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus, but their own appetite. See the lust there? By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Our churches are full of these false teachers. They lead us to rebel. And so Jesus is saying here that Satan is the first liar. He's the faithful liar. He's the father of all lies and the father of all liars. He has a lot of children. His false teachers have gone all through the world. They have even infiltrated the churches. They're deceiving us. But wait a minute. Did you know that sometimes the believer himself is used of Satan to deceive? Did you know that most of us in this room are not deceived by false teachers, but we have deceived ourselves? Now listen very closely. If you hear nothing else I say here from this point on, wake up. This sermon is about Satan being a liar, but listen very closely to what I'm getting ready to say. Even if there was no Satan, if Satan died today, the greatest source of deception that would come your way would not be Satan. It would be your own heart. Look at the next verse, Jeremiah 17. The heart of man is deceitful above all things, including Satan himself, and desperately wicked. Who can understand the heart of man? The human heart is bent towards deception. Even if Satan went on a vacation and stopped putting his lies in our minds, the human heart is such in its depravity that it leans toward, it is bent towards deception, and it is deceitful above all things. We deceive ourselves. The greatest deceiver of Grace Church is not Satan. The greatest deceiver in Grace Church is the one we see when we look in the mirror. You say, Pastor, how do we deceive ourselves? Look at James 1. We deceive ourselves by hearing the Word but not doing it. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know how we deceive ourselves? By thinking that because we come to church, because we read 40 Days with Jesus, because we listen to a Christian radio station, because we have our devotions, that we are somehow right with God and pleasing God and everything's okay. The Bible says here, if you are hearing God's Word but not doing it, you deceive yourselves. For example, we read that we are supposed to forgive those who have sinned against us. We hear it, but we don't do it. And we think we're right with God, but we are not right with God. We have deceived ourselves with that unforgiveness. We read that we are to honor God with our possessions, with our income, that we are to be good stewards. Almost every week somebody says to me in our church, Pastor, I know we're supposed to tithe, but... Pastor, I know the Bible teaches I'm supposed to give weekly, but we hear it, but we don't do it. And we're deceiving ourselves if we think we're right with God. We read what the Bible says about divorce. We get angry with our mate because of something they did. And so we say, I know what the Bible says, but I can't live with her anymore, but I can't live with him anymore. We deceive ourselves. We are hearers of the Word, but not doers of the Word. We hear what the Bible says about anger and wrath and bitterness. We hear what the Bible says about greed and about envy and jealousy, but we don't obey it. We hear it, but we don't do it. We were reading 40 Days with Jesus last night. Loretta was reading the passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And I was sitting there on the couch listening. Loretta read how Jesus said, when a man comes along and takes his fist, hits you on the face. Jesus said, turn the cheek. Let them hit the other side. And it was like a knife went into my heart. I thought, oh God, I tell you what I'd do. You just try slapping my face. Brother, you just declared war. It's World War III. You slap my face, I'm going to slap back harder. You hit me, I'm going to hit you. I've deceived myself. Jesus said, somebody hits you, let them have the other cheek. Jesus said, somebody takes your coat, give them something else. Jesus said, not only should you loan to your enemy, but don't ask for it back. I don't ask for it back from my enemies. I won't let my enemies have a penny. You see, I've been hearing the word, but I've deceived myself. I've not been doing it. I can only think of one time in my life when somebody struck me and I turned the other cheek. I can only think of one time. In 41 years, I can only think of one time when someone took their hand and struck me and I turned the other cheek. Ladies and gentlemen, we deceive ourselves by hearing the word but not doing what it says. How else do we deceive ourselves? Look at James 1:26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Do you think of yourself as religious? Do you badmouth others? Do you gossip? Are you critical of people? Do you ridicule? Do you use hurtful words? Then the Bible says your religion is worthless. It's trash. Don't deceive yourselves into thinking that you're right with God and close to God if you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue. We deceive ourselves, don't we? How else do we deceive ourselves? By thinking unrighteous people will inherit God's kingdom. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral. Young men, are you listening? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. I don't care what the Des Moines Register says. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Look back at verse 9. Do not deceive yourselves. Young man, you persist in adultery. Night after night, you make your way to her bed. Do not deceive yourselves. You are not part of God's kingdom. I have talked to people who live a shameful lifestyle, and yet they feel no shame about it. And they've said to me, Pastor, my lifestyle doesn't make a difference. I've been saved. I've been forgiven. Look at verse 9. Do not be deceived. Ladies and gentlemen, true disciples of Christ are evidenced by their fruit. A persistent, continual, ungodly lifestyle is evidence of a faulty standing before an almighty God. I am not saying it's not possible to backslide. I'm not saying that it's not possible to fall into sin. I am saying a continual lifestyle of rebellion, a continual lifestyle of immorality, a continual lifestyle of greed, of swindling, of drunkenness gives evidence that you do not know God. I don't care how many prayers you prayed. I don't care how many times you were baptized. I don't care how many churches you've joined. If that is your lifestyle, the Apostle Paul said, don't deceive yourselves. You have no part in the kingdom of God. Yet we deceive ourselves, don't we? Look at Ephesians 5. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you. with empty words. But for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. John said the same thing. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous. Verse 8, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy His work. No one who is born of God will continue, the key word there is continue, to sin. He's a faithful liar. He's the father of all lies. He's got His children who deceive us. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. Finally, what are some of his lies? Pastor, you've been telling us the devil lies. Like, give us an example, okay? Look at verse 42 and 43. He lies about God's Son, who Jesus is. Jesus said that God sent me. I came from God. Verse 43, they weren't hearing a word He said. They didn't accept it. Do you see it? They wouldn't listen. Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. God sent me. The Pharisees said, you're not the Son of God. You're an imposter. Who told them that? God didn't tell them that. Satan placed that thought in their minds. You know what Satan will do? He'll lie to you about who Jesus is too. He'll say to you, Jesus isn't the Son of God. He was just a good man, just a moral leader, just a good teacher. That's a lie. The enemy lies. The enemy will say he wasn't really born of a virgin. He didn't really rise from the dead, literally, bodily, physically. He's not the only way to heaven. The enemy lies. Don't believe a word he says. He'll lie to you about who God's Son is. Number two, he'll lie to you about God's Word. Not only about God's Son, but God's Word. He'll tell you the Bible's not the Word of God. He'll tell you the Bible was written by man. It's full of lies. You can't trust it. It's just a book. He's a liar. You better not believe him. Verse 46, Jesus asked, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe my word? Why don't you believe what I say? Look at verse 47. He answers it. The reason you don't believe me is because you don't belong to God. He'll lie to you about God's word. I guarantee you, Satan will put in your mind, listen to me, kids, Satan will put in your mind the Bible is not God's word. You can't trust it. How do you know it's true? Mark my words. That thought did not come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you to trust God's Word. The unholy Spirit leads you to doubt God's Word. The enemy lies. He lies about God's Son, about God's Word. Number three, he lies about God's character. For example, look at verse 48 again. They said, Jesus in verse 46 was without sin. Do you see it? Jesus said, I've never sinned. But look at verse 48. They said, you're not only a sinner, you're demon-possessed. You're evil to the core. They attack God's character. And Satan will lie to you about God's character. Satan will say to you, God's not listening to you when you pray. Nothing ever happens. Why do you waste your time? God doesn't care about you. That's a lie. The enemy lies, remember? Satan will say to you, you can't tithe. You can't be involved in that stewardship offering. You'll go broke. That's a lie. He'll say, God won't take care of you. God won't meet your needs. That's a lie. The enemy lies. Satan will say to you, you don't have time to serve God, and God doesn't appreciate what you do anyway. The enemy lies. Satan will say, God's not a good God. He doesn't meet your needs. He doesn't care about you. The enemy lies. He'll say to you, God's not going to forgive your sins. Why? You've done this and you've done that and you might as well hang your head and walk out of the church and never come back because God won't forgive you. That's a lie. The enemy's a liar. Satan will say to you, God's not merciful. God's a harsh God. He's just waiting to punish you. That's a lie. The enemy lies. Satan will say to you that God doesn't love you. The reason that you've had the problems you've had. The reason your children have cancer. The reason your wife died. The reason your husband left you is because God doesn't care about you. That's a lie. The enemy's a liar. Don't believe a word he says. He'll lie to you about God's Son, about God's Word, and about God's character. You say, well, what do I do? You got two choices. Let's bottom line it.
so I can get you to Sunday school. You got two choices. You can believe a liar, or you can believe God's truth. You can believe God. You can listen to the enemy's lies, or you can listen to God who always tells the truth. Look at verse 34 in your Bible. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Look at verse 45. Jesus said, I tell the truth. Look at verse 46. Jesus said, I am telling the truth. Look at verse 51. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Look at verse 58. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Five times he says it in one chapter, I tell the truth. In the same chapter he says, your enemy is a liar. He says five times, but I tell the truth. So who are you going to believe? You can listen to his lies. Or when thoughts come into your mind, you can ask yourself, where'd that thought come from? And if it's not consistent with the truth, reject it. And believe the Lord. I was talking to a man that used to come to our church. I'll call him Joe. Joe had problems. If I've ever seen a man in bondage, it was Joe. Every lustful thought, every immoral deeds you can imagine, Joe was involved in it. By the way, Joe came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was a time when Joe even sang in our choir. You wouldn't believe the things Joe did in the secret chambers of his heart. Joe would sit there in church and say amen when Pastor Nelms preached on the enemy lies. But Joe was in bondage. I was talking with Joe one day. It was obvious to me that Joe was not right with the Father. And I asked Joe, I said, tell me how you feel about God the Father. And he quickly replied, here's the direct quote. He said, watch out or He'll punish you. You know, I was real close to my dad who just went to heaven. If you had walked up to me and said, Dave, what do you think about your father? I would have said, watch out or He'll punish you. I would have said, oh, He's the greatest. Just give me an hour. I'll tell you about my dad. Does it strike you as there being something wrong with Joe's relationship with the father when the first thought he has about God is, watch out or He'll punish you? I told him, I said, Joe, you've swallowed a lie. Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And look at your last verse here, John 3:16. God loves the world. And the next verse says, God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I said, Joe, I don't know where you got that. But you didn't get that from the Holy Spirit. Your Father loves you. Joe, you've swallowed a lie. And I opened my Bible to John chapter 8, verse 32. Look at it. And I said, John, you will never be free until you believe God's truth. Do you see it? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Joe, until you stop believing Satan's lies and start believing what God says, you will never be free of this bondage of immorality that you were in. Joe, when Satan comes to you and says, God hates you, it's a lie. The enemy's lying. Don't believe it. When Satan comes to you and says, you've got to be involved in that immorality. You've got to do it. You can't live without it. That's a lie. The enemy is a liar. Don't believe him. Believe the truth. It's the truth that sets you free.
So I tell you what I told Joe. As long as you listen to Satan's lies, you're going to live in bondage. It is when you understand that Satan is a liar. You guard your mind. You examine the thoughts you have and compare them to God's Word, and you reject that which does not match up with the Word. It is at that point that you live in freedom, that you live in victory. Now look, my sermon's over. Preacher's done. I earned my pay. Now I want to talk to you as your friend. Will you listen to me? I cannot tell you how broken my heart is today. Because I know there are people in this room you've listened to a lie. Here's the lie. You don't need the blood of Jesus. You don't need to repent of your sins. You don't need a crutch. You don't need to walk down an aisle and put your trust in somebody you can't even see. Because you're moral. You're good. You work as hard as the next guy. You give to charity. You do good deeds. You've never hurt anybody. If that's not good enough for God, tough. Because it's good enough for you. Do you think that God's Holy Spirit has whispered in your ear, you don't need Jesus? You don't need the blood of Christ? Do you think that God has whispered in your ear, you don't need to repent? You've got an enemy. He's lied to you. And if you persist in believing that lie, you will one day spend eternity with your enemy in a place you do not want to go. Would you bow your heads, please? This morning, how many of you would say, Pastor, I have given my heart to Jesus. I know I've repented of my sins. I know that I am born into the family of Almighty God. If that's your testimony and you are certain about it, would you raise your hand, please? I know that I know that I know that I'm a Christian. God bless you. If you could not raise your hand, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. You don't know what your relationship is with God. You just don't know. But you want to become God's child. You don't want to listen to Satan's lies. You want to be born into God's family. You want to know that your sins are forgiven. Would you raise your hand? Is there one person like that in this room? Put it up good and high. Let me see. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be forgiven. Let's stand to our feet, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there somebody here today who'd say, Pastor, I've been listening to Satan's lies. He's told me if I tithe, God won't take care of me. He's told me if I confess my sins, God won't forgive me. He's told me I'm not pretty. I'm not very smart. I'm not worth much. And I realize today God didn't tell me those things. Satan did. I don't want to listen to those lies anymore. Who would say that? Let me see your hands. Put them up good and high, please. God bless you. God has spoken to your heart as Dan leads us in a hymn of invitation. I want you just to slip out of your seat. Come to this altar. Get on your knees. Pray to your Father who tells you the truth. Some of us need to come and say, Father, I've done some things that are wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Some of us need to come and say, God, help me not to listen to Satan's lies. Help me to listen to your truth. Some need to come and just give our hearts to Christ. Would you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We don't have time to wait. If you're going to come, come on the first stanza. Come right now, please.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
That's right. Just come. Come with these others. Just come.
To reach out and touch Him.
Who else? Quickly.
and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord.
Oh God, open our ears
and
eyes.
Help us to listen.
Father, please.
God. Open
Father in heaven, before this group of people that call themselves Grace Church, I want to publicly acknowledge that I believe Your Word is true. That Your Son is not only the way, He's the truth. I acknowledge publicly, Father, that it is impossible for God to lie according to Titus 1. And that we have an enemy who is nothing but a liar. He's the first liar, the faithful liar, the father of all lies. Father, I've communicated to Grace Church this truth. I pray that those who have heard our words will listen, eyes will be opened, that we will not allow false teachers to deceive us, or that we will not allow ourselves to deceive us. Lord, may we hide Your Word in our hearts, reject Satan's lies, believe God's truth. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.